The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Sometimes we talk about the weather. You know, pursuing deeper relationships, the deeper spiritual relationships, can be very much enhanced in small groups. Small groups where you get a chance to come together and to be realigned by the Holy Spirit, where you have a sense of God is embracing you through one another. It's a place where you actually experience God's love with skin on. Now, as these guys in their small group, and you might look at that and you think, well, I'd love to be in a small group like that. Your experience of small groups may be different. But we just want to encourage you, as we look today at pursuing deeper spiritual relationships, it may be that being in a small group could be a place that you actually take hold of. It could be something you actually say, yep, I'm going to do that, regardless of past experiences. It gives you a place where you can trust one another, where you can open up and grow together. But as we know, it's not just about feeling good. Deeper spiritual relationships is always about the overflow. So we're touching one another, but the thing is, we're also in a dark and a hurting and a struggling world where we actually bring life and joy and the love of Jesus to those people as well. And that's one of the big values of deeper spiritual relationships. And that's why we push it so much. Because we want to be not only having a sense of embrace and a sense of acceptance, but we want that to overflow to the world that we live in. You know, spiritual relationships are for our benefit, but they're also there for the benefit of the other people that we run into during the week. In case you didn't know, it's one of the focus we have for this year, pursue deeper spiritual relationships. It's one of the roots of our Kingdom Life tree. Kingdom Life, which we did last year, and it's our discipleship process. You know, there's a lot of secular research that has gone into what makes people happy and healthy. And there's one that I heard on a TED talk last week, which is a 75-year research project. 75 years they've been researching. 724 men they started with in Boston. Some from a very rich area and some from the poorest of the poor areas. And so now some of these guys are still alive. They're in their 90s. They're only kids then. And they've tracked these people through the Harvard study of adult development. And you can have a look. There'll be a link that you can have a look at or just Google that. But it's a fascinating research development. You know, one of the things that they said was, where they look at people, some of them have turned out to be, one was the president of the US, one was a doctor's lawyers, some are factory workers, some are alcoholics, some are in prison. There's a whole smattering across the board. Mental illness is one of the factors that comes out of it. And one of the things they learned, the key factor that came out of it was the power of good relationships. They said that was the highest point. Good relationships keep us healthier in every area of life. And this is secular research. Good relationships. So it's not necessarily the number of friends you've got, but it's the quality of some close relationships who stand with you in the midst of life. And they said it's not just relationships, it's good, warm relationships. They offer a bit of a buffer in the storms of life and create far better mental health as well. The guy at the end, he said, you know, relationships are messy, but they are worth it. They are worth investing in because far and away they are the major factor in you experiencing life as you're meant to experience it. You know, Mark Twain, he quoted this, there is only time for loving. The good life is built with good relationships. You know, and obviously the Bible is full of this. Full of this, our spiritual relationships, which we've just been talking about, enable us to enjoy life to the full. Sure, they're messy, and it's a risk. But we have to go this way if we are wanting to experience life to the full and to help others to do the same. It's a powerful thing. You know, it's interesting with the research, they talked about loneliness. And the guy said, loneliness kills people. He said, it is toxic to good health. The brain declines earlier and we die earlier. Living in the midst of conflict, constant conflict, as some families and you might have grown up in. Living in the midst of conflict is super bad for your health. Where there's harshness, there's tension, there's arguing. He said it's just toxic. I was even reading in the West Australian newspaper on Friday, and the schools are seeking to do a lot in this area, and there's a conference on this week. And the comment was, schools can do more to identify and help lonely children. Because loneliness is a risk factor for suicide and other mental health problems. UWA researcher Karen Martin will tell a positive schools conference over the weekend. Persistent loneliness could increase a child's risk of depression, poorer sleep patterns, overeating, reduced academic progress and suicidal thinking. Research showed that loneliness at age 15 was strongly related to suicidal behaviour. Dr. Martin said there were two types of loneliness. There's emotional loneliness, where you feel disconnected, and there's a social isolation, where you actually really feel like you don't have any friends. She said it's not just about number. You could have a massive group of friends, but not feel good about those friendships, and therefore feel lonely. It's in the schools. We know that. We know it's a massive situation today, massive struggle. And one of our desires, the church, is to address this loneliness issue, both within the church and outside in our community. It's a focus. And some of you participated in the loneliness survey we had. Sounds a bit dumb, doesn't it, the loneliness survey? But a survey which related to this topic of loneliness. Some of you participated in that. And we got quite a bit of feedback from that. And just on Thursday, a group of leaders from the church met with one of the community workers from the city of South Perth to look at how do we partner with you in dealing with, and what are the lonely people in our community, in our city. So we're doing what we can to at least address this to some degree. You know, I just want to say, if you struggle with loneliness, and on the scale of 1 to 10, we all do to some degree, please know that we want to help you connect in some way. We don't always do it well. We may not do a good job, but it's our intention, our desire to help people connect so that loneliness is a decreasing situation in our church, because the more we deal with the loneliness here, the more we feel freer to deal with the loneliness out there. And I was in email contact with a person who's relatively new to our church just before I went away, and I just inquired of how she was going, and she said, well, I'm yet to know anyone personally in church. I would really love to. I'm just trying to arrange my commitments right now. I've been going through a lot for the past 6 months. So there's just a heart of, I really would like to get to know someone personally. There's reasons for this, isn't it? There's reasons for that. Many things hinder us pursuing deeper spiritual relationships. Many things stop us from moving towards people. I was chatting to another lady this week who's part of our church, and very good at relating with people, extremely good. And she said, you know, one thing that really is hindering them at the moment is energy levels. She said, I find working and all the stuff that's going on with the extended family, just my energy levels aren't there. So when it gets to time where I've got a bit of space, I haven't got the energy to move towards people. Do you identify with that? Yeah. God is on about relationships. God is all about relationship. God is love. That's his definition. God is love. And he does everything he can to embrace us into his family. He accepts us for who we are. Now, it's interesting when you go back to creation and you read in Genesis 1 and 2 how creation existed with a fourfold harmony. So there was great relationship with God. There was great relationship between the two of them. There was harmony within themselves and there was harmony with nature. But then the fall. And what do we see? We see Adam and Eve hiding. And God's sort of like, what's going on here? And Adam said this, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And there goes humanity. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The first consequence of selfish independence is fear. And fear is rampant through our world today. A lot of fears. And here we see with the first couple, their fear and shame then ignited into anger and blame. What does Adam say? Well, wait a minute. The woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. The woman says, well, wait a minute. The snake, he was the one that's to blame here. And so we get the blame and shame, the shame and blame type thing that flows through and it continues in our lives. Continues right through us. And loneliness comes out of that. Loneliness is a very powerful aspect of brokenness. And we're all broken to some degree. All of us are broken. And I just praise God that He is on about restoring broken people. And I praise God for the people in this room who have played a big part in my life, in the restoration of my life. And I know you play a big part in the restoration of other people's lives. You see, we're in this together with God. We're not silent partners. So as we love people, as we move towards people, it helps them be a little bit more released from fear. As we love people, it helps them to relate maybe a little bit better with other people. It helps them to open up a little bit more. Even though most of us don't like being exposed, as the young people shared in their group, it's a place where they're feeling comfortable to actually open up and be a little bit vulnerable. As we love people, we actually open the door for them to open up and be a little bit more known to us. Loving people helps them to emerge from their hiding so that they blossom and flourish. You know, Jesus said in John 13, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Very powerful. As we love one another in response to that command of Jesus, and obviously with his help, as we love one another, people outside notice it and they say, wow, what's happening there? I want in. You know, Peter went on to say in 1 Peter 1:22, he said, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. Pursuing deeper spiritual relationships involves loving one another. And once again, it mightn't be loving one another deeply from the heart. It might just be loving one another a little bit to start with. But we move in that process. You know, when you look through the New Testament, it's full of this. It's full of love. I don't know if you've ever done a study on the one another's in Scripture. In the New Testament, care for one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Pray for one another. Build up one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Forgive one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Offer hospitality to one another. These are all pictures, snapshots of loving one another. And as I said earlier, I praise God for, you know, all of you who do this well. I just want to fan the flame on that this morning. Keep going for broke in that. Because see, all of this involves initiative. It involves initiative. It's not a passive thing. It's not someone should or who could do this. It's I choose to move towards. I choose to serve. I choose to pray for. I choose to encourage. I choose to spur one another on. I choose to build up someone. It's not rocket science. But one of the problems is we often compare ourselves with others and think, well, I'm not good enough. I can't do it like they do it. But we're all in this together. It's about taking initiative. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, he said, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would have them do to you. It's the golden rule. Take the initiative. Consider, if I was in their shoes, what would I want people to do or to give or to for me? We ask that and then we do it. Again, if you are in a situation where you think, well, wait a minute, I'm on a 10-plus thing on the loneliness scale. How do I do this? I struggle to even come to a meeting like this. I just want to encourage you, take one step. See where the Spirit prompts you. Or at least respond to some of the opportunities that may exist for there to be some connection. Keep coming. Keep seeking out people. Keep being open to conversations with people. If you're a man, come to the Man Space events that we have. June 19, we've got another one on. Come to the Ladies' Coffee Night if you're a woman. Sign up for the guest who's coming to dinner later on in June. Opportunities that, they don't make it happen, but they provide a possibility for relationships to go further, to experience the acceptance and the embrace of other people. Join a small group. Go on a spiritual retreat. So when you go on things like a spiritual retreat, you're with a group of people for 2 to 3 days, stuff happens. And you get to know people. And you get to be embraced and prayed for and encouraged by people. Powerful event. So I guess it is about initiating. It's about initiating love. And what does that look like? I'm sure you can come up with 100 different possibilities. I love the snapshot that Paul gives us in how one way it works for him. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 16, he says, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. I love Onesiphorus. He often refreshed Paul. He wasn't ashamed of his chains. He didn't think, oh, it's a bit dangerous going anywhere near Paul here. He searched hard for him until he found him. And he often refreshed him. That's what loving people is. It's searching for them. Sometimes it's just responding to the Spirit's promptings or responding to the divine appointments as they come together. But it's always about refreshing. It's always about bringing life to people in a myriad of ways that may happen. You know, one of my cousins, I'm very close to him. A number of years ago, they were expecting their first baby. And about when it was due, he rang me. And I thought, oh, it's been born. But he was heartbroken because the baby, due to complications, had been stillborn. Excuse me. What do you do in a situation like that? I prayed. I'd call him regularly. But he said to me, you know, they were living in Geraldton at the time. And he said one couple, who were good friends of theirs, they drove up to Geraldton one Saturday morning. They spent an hour with them. They encouraged them. They prayed for them. And then they drove back to Perth. It wasn't on the way somewhere. And he said to me, that really revealed how much they loved us. Now, I could feel like, oh, gee, I was pretty poor. All I did was ring, you know. But probably the phone calls were okay as well. But he just said it really impacted him. This couple searched hard for them. They went out of their way. You know, I have a friend that I've met. He's a Muslim guy. And he's a good friend. He's a giver. He actually does panel beating on cars. And that's how I first met him, through a connection by my other Muslim friend who introduced me to him because my car had a dint. Anyway, just before Christmas last year, Raymer's car, she'd had a bit of an incident where something had flown in from someone on near the footpath and hit the bumper and cracked the bumper. It was a plastic bumper and a bit had broken off. And so I took it to Muhammad and I said, "Can you fix this?" And he says, "Oh," I said, "can you replace it?" And he said, "No, I'll weld that. I said, "It's plastic." He said, "No, we can weld it. Look perfect." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, not a problem." So anyway, he takes the broken piece to go to Malaga. His office or his workshop's in Maddington. He goes to Malaga to match the paint. And then I take the car around to him on the 24th of December, just before we go down south on holidays. And he looks at it and he goes, "They've given me the wrong piece." And he gets the piece out that he had, and it wasn't the same colour, didn't even match. And he said, "I don't know where the other piece is. I left it out. They must have thrown it in the bin." And he said, "No problems. Leave it with me. I'll fix it." So I get back, and the thing's completely fixed. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I went out there. I rang the guy and said, 'Look, I think you've got—'" He said, "I'm shut for Christmas. I'm not anywhere near the place." He said, "But I got to get in there and get this piece and fix it for my friend." And he said, the guy basically said, no, I'm locked up. So he said, "What I did was I drove out there to Malaga on Boxing Day," and he said, "I climbed his fence. I went through the skip bin, and I found it." Climbs the fence, comes back out, and he fixes my car. I said, "Mate, you didn't have to go to all that trouble. I would have paid for a new one." He goes, "Not a problem. No problem, just time. Didn't cost me anything." He said, "Friendship is the most important thing." I thought, wow. I don't know if I would have done that. Very humbling. Very humbling. I guess that's part of the culture as well. He's from Afghanistan. Part of the culture of giving. Not a problem. You might not have to do either of the first two examples. But maybe for you, to love someone might be to invite them home for a meal. Or to say, "Let's have a coffee together." Or, "Let's meet at this cafe, have a meal, and the kids can play in the playground." Somehow moving towards someone. Had a guy I was chatting to, John Bardsley. They had their car damaged in the storm. It's undrivable. And he said to me Thursday night, he said, "Yeah," a couple from the church rang up and said, "Oh, we believe you need a car. We've got one. We'll bring it around. Here it is." So they got a car to drive around. There's a need, we can help. I've been away for 6 weeks. I was chatting to someone during the week and they said, "Oh, we didn't even know you'd gone away." That person's here this morning, but I won't point him out. I said, "Oh, wow, I must make a big impact." But I was part of the time away. We were in North America. We saw our daughter Natasha and had a great time, but had the privilege of being on a cruise to Alaska for 10 days. And on the cruises, you might have been on a cruise, they have entertainment most nights, or every night. And they're always great. And they had a couple of young guys doing some stuff, and the name of these two young guys was something ridiculous. And so it stuck with me. I said, I was thinking of Brett with the how ridiculous stuff. Anyway, so they did some trick stuff and all that. And the next day, I was just walking up one of the staircases, and one of these guys was coming towards me. So I stopped and chatted. We probably chatted for 15, 20 minutes. And I said, "Oh, well, I'll keep going. You can go, or you need to go." And he said, "Hey, thanks so much for stopping to talk to me." I thought, well, that wasn't hard. But maybe in their scenario, where they're actually up front a lot, doing entertainment, people might want to talk to them, but they might feel, "Oh, he didn't want to talk to me." And it was just this sense of, "Thanks so much for talking to me, for stopping and talking to me." Maybe that's what loving one another for you is. Even someone here in the cafe to stop and talk to them. You don't know the impact it might have on them. As I said, it doesn't have to be big stuff. It's not rocket science, but in terms of developing and pursuing deeper spiritual relationships, It's about initiating love. It's about moving towards. Because in doing that, it releases one another more and more. Go with the prompts of the Holy Spirit. Again, if you're struggling with loneliness, I just want to say we're sorry if we're contributed to that. We do want to actually do something about it. We can't provide miracles all the time, but we do want to move with you in this journey. Just want to encourage all of us to choose to love as you can. Don't compare yourself to other people. God's blessed you with experiences in your life, with abilities, with resources that others haven't got. Allow him to use those and minister to one another and to a darker, hurting world out of that. If you're not a Christian, you've come this morning, you've never given your life to Christ, I just want you to know this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are embraced by Jesus. He loves you. He demonstrated that by dying for you on the cross. And I would just love for you this morning, if you're not in Christ, to explore that, to chat to one of us. He died for you. That's a great gift of love. Just close your eyes for a sec. So God's been speaking to you in some way. And the Holy Spirit's just prompting you now in some things. Just listen to what he's saying. Father, again, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus, the demonstration of perfect love in dying for us when we were totally unworthy. And Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, to guide us, to encourage us, to reassure us, to realign us to the important things of life, to keep us focused on who you are. Father, thanks for the promptings of the Spirit. And I pray that for every one of us this morning, as you're prompting us, you're moving in our lives in some way, I pray that each one of us would respond to you, that we would take a step of faith, that we would move towards, that we would choose to initiate love in whatever shape or form you're asking us to do that.